News Radio KMAN, Brandon Peoples here on In Focus, and we've got a busy show lined up for you. We're going to start things off first talking with some of our local health officials. On this side of the glass, I'll be talking here with Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital President. Dave's going to have, he's got Julie Gibbs from the Riley County Health Department standing by as well, but we'll start with Bob. Bob, appreciate you coming on here again and giving us an update.
Sure. Glad to be here this morning, Brandon. And did want to kind of do a joint call this morning with Julie, because health department obviously working very closely with the hospital and also with our community physicians and other providers to help our community respond to what's going on.
Well, and we've been talking a lot about safety this week with a lot of folks, and I know that's kind of the number one priority. You want to make sure people are following the CDC guidelines. What's the number one thing right now that the community needs to do to prepare and react appropriately to this ongoing situation?
So the social distancing has been shown to be the most effective technique to slow and or stop the spread of the COVID-19 virus across the world. And so it's very important, you know, we speak specifically about our at-risk population being most at risk, but it's everyone else who typically are the ones who are actually transmitting and spreading the disease. So the social distancing needs to be for everyone. And, you know, internally, even with our own team, certainly with our patients' families that we're serving, really emphasizing the need to just stay home. Only go out when you need essential medications, you're seeking food, or that you're seeking health care. And the best thing everybody can do, quite honestly, is just hunker down, stay home for a couple weeks here, and that is how we will effectively kind of slow things. It's interesting. We have, for example, started to see in the community a drop in the number of positive flu cases. It's another virus. It's not the same as this, and it's definitely not having the same impact. But it demonstrates the effectiveness of social distancing. We've already seen some improvement in that, and we really would encourage people to continue being very mindful about that, regardless of your age, because that you can still be a transmitter, and you won't know it necessarily.
Yeah,
people will be shedding virus for 7, even 8 days before they even have any symptoms. And then sometimes people's symptoms are so mild that they might not even be recognized, and they're still shedding virus and infecting other people.
That's a great point. This social distancing, not just for the keeping people safe from COVID-19, but other illnesses, that's a great point, because we're kind of towards, I guess, the tail end of the flu season. And right now, the one thing we don't want to do is overwhelm the hospital officials.
Well, it's not just the hospital. Obviously, it's front and center for us, but it really is the entire community health system. And so we've got to be thinking about our primary care offices, our urgent care centers, all the people who are really kind of on the front line of trying to address this. And social distancing, actually, that helps everyone. We are seeing an impact of that. We've seen, for example, a reduction in our emergency department actual visits. I think some folks are maybe just making some choices about, is what I've got going on really that serious? Because an emergency room is for emergencies. And I think that has been, again, another demonstration to us, illustration to us, that it's things are actually, we're making some improvement, making some inroads.
And Brandon, we're going to turn over to our next line with Riley County Health Department Director Julie Gibbs. It seems like, Julie, we talk a lot these days, and one of the things, and this is kind of a continuance from what Bob Koppel with Ascension Via Christi is talking about, is, steps to take if you feel that you may be exposed to the coronavirus and may have some symptoms, and you have put in a special screening line. Let's update our listeners on that process, Julie.
Sure. So we do have the Riley County screening phone line available. The number for that is 785-323-6400. This line will be open 8 a.m. until 10 p.m., 7 days a week, and calls will be answered by a medical professional. They will not provide much medical advice because we're going to rely on our physicians for that. However, they will ask a series of questions. For instance, what symptoms do you have? Have you traveled outside of the U.S. or anywhere in the U.S. where there's widespread transmission? And have you been in close contact with anyone who has confirmed or is being screened for COVID-19? And based on the answers to those questions, that healthcare professional can direct the individual to the right place, and it might be that they will need to call their healthcare provider for further screening.
What's your call volume been like to date with that special number?
Yesterday, I believe we had about 25 callers total. So this is in an effort to take some of the strain off of our providers, our local healthcare providers and the hospital, because we know that they're receiving a high volume of calls. So that was what we were trying to do with this screening line, was take some of the strain off of them and try to triage those calls. And so I think it's working very well.
All right. We're going to go back to Brandon with his on his side of the glass interviewing Bob.
All right. Back to you, Bob. I got a question here about as far as the process goes with screening patients. I'm kind of curious about that. How long is that taking? What's the wait time for people to get screened for this virus right now?
So all depends, the environment. If you're calling the screening phone line, for example, we're talking about a few minutes. Because really there's just some questions they're going to go through. They're going to ask you about symptoms. Do you have a fever? If you've had a fever, what's the level of that fever? And has it been sustained? Do you have a cough? Do you have difficulty breathing? What's the level of that difficulty? And it's really trying to get an idea into triage. Because if you have a positive screen on that phone call, then likely a recommendation is going to be made that you need to seek medical attention. And depending upon the severity of your symptoms, is that I need to go to my primary care physician, I need to go to an urgent care center, or if it's extreme, very severe, then do I actually need to go to the emergency room? And so if you go to your physician office, that's going to be a 10 or 15 minute appointment versus a 2 or 3 minute phone call on for the screening. To come to the emergency department, much more involved process, obviously. It's going to take longer than a physician office visit.
How pleased would you say you are right now with the amount of testing that you're able to do right now here locally?
So for testing, you actually, again, have to meet criteria or else the labs won't run the tests. And so it all depends. It actually goes back to those first three questions. Do people actually have a fever at the time of the testing? Because if you don't, you won't be tested. And so that's the same thing. Do you have all the symptoms? As far as the volume of tests, it's actually not high yet in the community because we don't have a lot of people who are kind of failing the screening, if you will. And so I think across the community, it's probably been in the range of, at the high end, 15 to 20 a day. We do anticipate that that's going to change fairly dramatically over the next week or so. We are taking some steps. Again, very community-focused approach about cooperatively standing up perhaps some testing facilities that are remote from any of our current medical facilities so that we can kind of keep people segregated somewhat but also keep a good flow. And so that's something that, on the table, definitely under conversation with a number of the parties here in the community. As far as access, I think the one thing, and Julie even mentioned this morning when she was on, came in at 7, the turnaround time for the actual laboratory test is starting to stretch out to a few days. And so we are, there are some other labs in the state of Kansas that are getting certified or approved, if you will, to do those tests. And we're going to just need that capacity. And that should actually help, though, as we get additional capacity, hopefully help reduce the turnaround time for the test results.
As far as bed capacity, is that a concern just yet?
So, I think you guys had mentioned again this morning, we've taken some pretty significant steps to reduce our current census. We've made we are actually under the advice of the American College of Surgeons, the American Medical Association, that's our two professional groups most physicians belong to. We have sharply reduced any sort of elective procedures, surgeries, even diagnostic procedures. And this is all around trying to really accomplish four goals. One is to reduce unnecessary exposure to patients and to the healthcare team here in the city. We're trying to reduce use of supplies, specifically medications and personal protective equipment. Or you hear us use the term PPE, that's personal protective equipment. The American Red Cross has seen a sharp decrease in blood donations, and so we're asking people not to do surgeries so that we can conserve the blood that's already been donated and is available for emergent use for patients. And then, you know, it's kind of that fourth thing is just trying to, again, conserve as much as we can any of our supplies and any of our medications and PPE. So those in total have actually, we have seen a significant drop in our inpatient census. We've seen a drop in most of our outpatient services. We're actually putting a pause on a number of outpatient services. Patients in the community have been getting phone calls this week that we're going to stop that service for this point, and that allows us to consolidate resources back into the acute care setting to be prepared for what we believe is going to happen, you know, the patient volumes that we're going to be seeing here in the next couple of weeks.
Turn it back over to Dave Lewis here with Julie Gibbs.
All right, Julie, a couple of questions as far as latest information. Yesterday, the Department of Health added, let's see, there was 34 confirmed cases of coronavirus in Kansas, and that was a number that increased about a dozen or so from the day before. Still no reports in Riley County, correct?
Correct. There are, as of today, no positive cases in Riley County. We do have the two that we found out a couple days ago in Morris County, which is close to us, so we're monitoring the situation. But as of now, no positives in Riley County.
Now, you're probably, I'm sure, most likely treating this as it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yes, absolutely. That's why we're really ramping up in preparedness and our messaging to the community.
What messages do you have for our residents in the area as far as trying to protect themselves from picking up the coronavirus?
Yeah. Well, the first thing people should do is practice good hand hygiene. I know you've heard it time and time again, but wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds and do that frequently throughout the day. You may dry out your hands, but that's okay. That's what lotion is for. Limit exposure to others by the use of social distancing. So again, try to keep that 6 feet between you and another person. So avoid those crowded areas. When you do go out, if you're just going to the grocery store, get your groceries and come home. Make sure to wash your hands as much as you can as well. Also, sanitize frequently touched surfaces in your home and your workplace. And the general population, regardless of recent travel or health, should practice the social distancing again to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. By temporarily isolating ourselves, we are not only protecting our families and loved ones, but also those individuals who are more medically vulnerable. They might suffer chronic medical conditions or who could otherwise be at serious risk of complications in the event they were exposed to COVID-19. So I've said it before, you may not be at risk, but you're a carrier. So please take care of your community and help us all to stay healthy and safe.
And you, as the Director of Health, you've had to make some difficult decisions and, you know, pertaining to the closing of a number of facilities. And that's pretty much true throughout much of Riley County with a few exceptions.
Yes. So we did just recently here in the last few days close all of our Riley County buildings, with the exception of EMS, RCPD, and the transfer station. Otherwise, our building, building adjacent from us, the FCRC building, they're closed. If you do need to get a hold of somebody within those buildings, with any of the county buildings, please check our website at rileycountyks.gov. We have phone numbers for all of those buildings.
And Julie, we're going to continue with our morning updates. We'll have one tomorrow morning as well. You're up to getting up early on Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm up early.
Okay. All right. Well, we certainly appreciate the input that you have been providing our listeners and the community through those updates. And if the situation warrants, the updates will be more frequent. We certainly don't want to have to deal with that. But here, once again, it may be more a matter of when as opposed to a matter of if.
Yes, exactly. Thank
you. How's the morale around the office there?
Actually, it's really, really good. We've been kept upbeat. You know, we continue to communicate with each other, working very well together, not only here in the building, but with our community partners, EMS, RCPD, fire, all of our healthcare providers, the hospital. We've worked really well together, and that's one thing that I am very pleased with is the amount of collaboration and enthusiasm with us and our community partners.
Well, Julie, we're going to turn things back over to Brandon and Bob, but thank you very much for joining us here this morning on InFocus, and we're going to continue to keep us up to date on things in Riley County.
All right, thank you.
We certainly appreciate your work and sharing that information.
Well, Bob, just wrap up with one final question to you. How is staff doing at the hospital? Is morale good with all the hospital workers?
You know, actually, Brandon, very proud of our team. People pull together. We've got folks doing some jobs that they might not typically do, like being a door screener or helping in a unit they might not typically work in. But just very good kind of people pulling in, knowing that this is a very serious deal, that knowing our community is dependent on us. And also, you know, I think we're confident that we can do a good job taking care of people. This is something we train for. This is something we drill for. Don't always want to have to do the stuff that you train and you drill for. So I actually had one of our younger physicians tell me earlier this week, he said, "This is so exciting. I'm going to learn so much, and I'm going to get to do some things that I otherwise wouldn't get to do as a physician." And to me, that was actually kind of just a reminder of, you know what we do is important, and this is a great opportunity for us to learn a lot and also to help a lot of people. So I think we're in good shape.
All right. Well, it's a great partnership we got right now with the hospital and the health department, and we plan on talking to you guys as the situation continues to develop. Thank you so much for being so transparent with us and joining us.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, guys.
All right. Again, Bob Koppel, president of Ascension Via Christi, Riley County Health Department Director Julie Gibbs, our guest here. We'll continue in focus next to talk with the Senior Center after this.